introducing a very distinguished solar astronomer, Dr. Serge Couchmi from L'Institut d'Astrophysique in Paris. Serge has observed a number of eclipses over the years and done some fine research at them, but he's also done a wide variety of other kinds of observations with telescopes around the world. He has spent some years, for example, at the Sacramento Peak Observatory in New Mexico and worked on super polished mirrors for spacecraft and a whole lot of things. It's been my pleasure to talk about a wide variety of solar things with him over the past number of years. I know he's planning a big expedition for the coming 3 years of major eclipses. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say now. Serge Couchmi.
Thank you, Gilles. Although my main interest is solar physics and in particular physics of the solar corona, I should say that I fully agree with what has been said before by preceding the speakers about eclipses. They are great, really great events, spectacular, dramatic, emotional. And in addition, both during the days of preparation and when you get to the site where you observe the eclipse, you meet a lot of people, many people, and I never met bad people. I met only good people, only nice people. So I fully agree with everything which has been said up to now. However, because I'm also a scientist, I should also. Where is the pointer? Thank you. I should first notice that, you know, at the moment we are spending billions of dollars in space mission in order to study this corona, this atmosphere around the sun, in the frame of what we call space weather studies. And the main part of the corona, what you see here, is occulted when you observe in white light in space. You have to reduce the scattered light from the sun, so you have to put occulters around and over-occult the sun, and you never see this part of the corona in white light. As far as the spectroscopic diagnostic is concerned, that's another topic and a very important topic to diagnose, to understand the physics of the solar corona. In this part of the corona, we have a lot of photons available, and so this makes eclipses really a nice opportunity for scientists to study the corona during short snapshot, of course, but doing a deep, really some deep analysis of the solar corona. Now, for the last decade, we saw a kind of, I would say, explosion of eruption of many work done by amateurs, and really nice, a lot of nice images taken in white light. And this is very, very, very good for scientists, because you can check, you know, the more you have data, the better you check the reality of what you saw. In the old time, there were eclipses when you got only one image, and there was controversy about the interpretation of that. No, it's not like this. So here I'm showing, an example from France. a young lady doing by themselves observation alone and doing processing and got really decent images. So there are plenty of data like this, which makes really for us scientists really happy. I like very much this image. Jay showed this morning images taken coming from this team, Russian team, and well, I like this image because it gives me the opportunity to introduce this topic about white lights. This image is showing you a large range of intensity variations. You have the sky background with stars, many stars here, and the sky background is typically 1,000 times less intense. So intensity here is 1,000 times smaller, less than what you have in the inner corner here. You have, by the way, the Earth shine here, and Earth shine is a decade of intensity less than the sky background. So if you compare one intensity here and here, you have 10,000 times. So it makes really challenging and difficult to study this, well, to consider this topic, white light imaging and trying to do measurements. Well, I like also this image because it's done in using a color films and by increasing the contrast, it's possible to guess the dust corona, the F corona around, because the color, you guess that the color compared to the sky is of course blue, the background is really blue, so you guess that there is something going on here, you see this aureola here, so here the F corona is dominating, and after that of course we deal with the plasma corona, and now I will talk mainly about the plasma corona. Well, at the top you have an image, a drawing made by hand, so that's what you would see with naked eyes. And so this gives us the opportunity to compare what you see with naked eye and what would be called computer visualization, which help a lot. Well, before going further, I want to comment about this white light imaging business. So I want to put some magic numbers here to help to understand why, indeed, the spatial resolution did not yet reach the seeing limits. So we should remember that we need 2 pixels in order to achieve the resolution corresponding to a pixel size, as the Shannon theorem. So today, detectors use small pixels, typically 6-8 microns. So it means that you need a 3 meter focal length at least to reach this 1 arc second limit. This is assuming that you have a large signal loss ratio. Resolution is of course a matter of signal loss ratio. So a lot of photons are needed. It means that you need also large aperture, especially to study the middle corona. For the inner corona, it's more easy. It assumes also that the instrument is perfect. No aberrations, no distortion, having a corrected large field of view, perfect guiding, etc., etc. So that's the challenge also, instrumental challenge. And finally, it assumes that you have a rather good seeing. 1 arc second is a good seeing. So it's not so easy to reach this limit of 1 arc second, and of course we would like to do something even better. And while we believe already for a long time that to beat the seeing and relax instrumental requirements, partial frame fast imaging should be used. This was done 17 years ago when with our CFHT experiments, and I believe that in the future I hope to see more and more amateurs doing using this method to reach a better resolution. Okay, now let's go to science. White light structure with fair resolution, like you saw before, really favorably can be compared with prediction. So you already heard the talk by Zoran Mikic, and so it's really immediate application of those analysis, those studies, and check the prediction. However, you can do a better job afterward. And while this is an example of something we did recently, so we use a model, the so-called potential field surface model, which is current-free, and afterwards. So we compare a structure, observed structure, with a computed structure coming from the observation of a magnetic field taken after the eclipse. And now I use from the same paper, we use the beautiful picture, well-processed picture by Miloslav Drobnyla, also to do a comparison and show that indeed with computation you can reproduce, you can get a high resolution as well. Colors correspond to polarities and to closed or open structure. There are open structure in polar region, closed here, and the color correspond to polarity. And this is the kind of work which is done today. However, I think that although some formal progress is made, there is no real breakthrough. We don't understand the storage of plasma in closed magnetic field line. What is the process? We don't understand, of course, the heating of the corona. We don't understand the dynamics, especially the dynamics at very small scales. And, of course, we don't understand the source of the solar wind correctly. What we started to do is to look at local. So local, more locally. And thanks to this kind of visualization, computer visualization, and so showing better the structure, corona structure, we see a lot of example of a dome-like structure, which, with loops inserted inside and some streams, rays, So linear rays like this and many domes like this. And so using a more local analysis, like it is shown here, dome-like configuration with parallel field lines here, which could, with separatrice here, where the plasma can be confined and accelerated near the null point. So this seems to correspond to what we systematically observe here now with at high resolution. So this kind of 2.5 dimensional model of magnetic structure with null points and separatrice, so permit to consider the local structure of the magnetic field maybe more objectively, and we hope that some progress will be done soon using numerical modeling. Regarding the finest structure, already several speakers considered this jet which was observed, or ray, linear ray, which was observed at the last eclipse. We should compare this with today observation taken in X-rays, and this is very similar to what we see in X-rays. This is a time sequence taken quite recently with the Hinode mission during the in last November using an X-ray telescopes, and we have only We have 30 seconds between each picture, and you see that it's a quite fast event. The lifetime of this structure is typically 5 minutes. In white light, of course, we see probably the counterpart of that, much further out. And the lifetime here is presumably half an hour, 1 hour, something like this, but no more, I believe. What we would like very much is to see the feet of this image. And we would like to do some more measurements like the aspect ratio, to look at the curvature. Is it really linear or is it curved? We would like to know better the evolution, the variation of the cross section, because this structure is made indeed of from several pieces. But more importantly, we would like to know more about the feet. And that's a problem with eclipses, because we have the moon before and it's masking those. We have more analysis by comparing while ground-based, what we do at eclipses using here with filters and simultaneous observation taken in space. This is in helium land, ionized helium, so 50,000 Kelvin, degrees Kelvin. Here it's typically 10,000. And very interesting so correlations and well, the analysis of this kind of material give you some way to understand the physics of prominence and the relationship with the corona. I was talking about changes or variations, and was talking about the feet. So here is an image. This is an image of Miloslav Druckmüller, and this image taken after 20 minutes after. Here, fortunately, this image was taken from a location where you had the possibility to see the chromosphere at pole. They were off center of the center line, and it is showing you that in that case, well, some of those fine structure you see in white light, you can follow then to the chromosphere, and this makes really valuable also observation taken not from the center of the line of totality, but outside the line of totality. Polarization analysis, so this is what we did at the last eclipse. The polarization is axially symmetric in the K corona. However, we have the polarization of the sky background. And for the first time, we succeeded in showing that null point of the polarization vector exists. This location here and this location are two locations where the polarization is zero. This was predicted theoretically, and it is the first time that we succeeded in measuring, in getting this data. So this gives us more confidence with what we see in fine structure. The direction or deviation of the polarization direction from the radial direction is an interesting parameter, a good diagnostic for looking at high velocity electrons, because we, in some cases here, we don't deal just with the Thomson scattering, but we deal also with the so-called inverse Compton effect. And this produces some deviation of the polarization. And in the future, this is what we would like to develop more. Now, to investigate the dynamical effect, like the famous macroturbulence we know for a long time already, but also look at net motions. And we would like to have diagnostic of oscillation waves, because we believe that this is the reason of the heating and the reason of the existence of the very existence of the solar corona, especially inside the middle corona. The analysis of line profile, so now I'm coming to the spectroscopic diagnostic. So looking at line profiles coming from emission different ions, and especially heavy ions, because heavy ions give you the possibility to distinguish between motions and microturbulence due to the temperature. And we are lucky to have a very strong line, the green line, which is indeed the strongest line of the whole spectrum available from the corona, much better than what we do in space. For example, using a very, very expensive and valuable experiment we did on SOHO. We really have here a good diagnostic for looking at small motions and maybe find out what are the mechanisms for hitting the corona. Of course, we have line of sight integration effect, like for the white light studies. And the availability of high-resolution simultaneously obtained images also greatly help the interpretation of spectra. Well, I will not insist too much on the atomic physics of the detail of the line is formed. Just to tell you that the temperature where this line is formed corresponds to typically 2 million degree Kelvins, and this is the most probable temperature of the corona. It is known for a long time already. So this is, by the way, the reason why the line is so bright. It is also a forbidden line. It's a transition which the spin of the outer electrons is changing of direction during the production of this line, and it is sensitive to the magnetic field of the surrounding corona. Well, we developed several type of experiment use this diagnostic. As you say here, those are small experiments because a lot of progress has been done with detectors. So they are small in this small spectrograph. This is an experiment with a narrow interference filter. And I want to talk first to comment on this experiment. Radial variation of the flux of this grid line emission can be analyzed using very narrow passband interference filter to perform deep CCD imaging in the line. This is quite similar to experiment that Jay was talking about this morning. But here it's a typically photometric experiment. It's more like a diagnostic using the flux of the line. And while we were quite happy to confirm some very old but unique result which was obtained in 1940, namely the radial variation. So radial variation of the grid line we got. Here is plotted the intensity, the ratio of the intensity of the grid line over the K line, the K corona. It's a ratio. And this was known. We have a decreasing part up to, typically 1 radii. And after that, we discovered that indeed the line is becoming showing an increasing part here, an increased contrast. In order to get these results, you have to be very careful with what you are doing with the filters. You have to make images with a narrow passband filter here on the line and other pictures taken outside the line in order to subtract the contribution of the continuum corona, because of course you have overlapping of both green line and the continuum corona, the K corona. So it's very important to subtract accurately the contribution of the continuum corona in order to get the emission of the green line only. So this was the first result, and I believe that this should be repeated in order to try to confirm this very important behavior of the green line in the outer corona. We did some more images at the last eclipse, including images in the infrared line and other lines of iron 13, which is also a good diagnostic for both temperature and magnetic field. But further, to study in more detail the line profile, now we want to look more carefully at the diagnostic regarding velocities, regarding temperature. So we need a spectroscopic experiment in space we have UVCS, which was the main experiment for doing these things. However, as I said before, it's difficult to look at the inner corona. So we use a spectrograph, an eclipse spectrograph with a very long slit, simple, quite. This is the slit of the spectrograph, and you see, so you measure line profile along this direction. You pick up the different location, so on the moon also, looking in all these location, and then you can get the line profile all along the slit. This is a typical spectrum of the green line. You see that it is inhomogeneous. You see different line profile well across the line here, and you see, well, if you look carefully, you see, you get also some net displacement. You fit with a Gaussian. Well, this is different profile taken all along this direction for one definite distance from the sun, and this is the results we got. Each point here corresponds indeed to many, many measurements along the slit. And we were quite surprised in getting this data. We see that the line in the outer corona is getting narrower and narrower. In coronal holes, we got, well, at eclipses it's possible to get some emission from the green line, and we see that indeed the line is increasing. The full width at maximum, the line is increasing in coronal hole over polar regions, but in equatorial region it is decreasing, definitely decreasing. Well, this is a set of other data confirming. Well, I don't have time to comment too much on the dispersion. I want just to show you this diagram, which is showing you here. We plot full width at half maximum, so that's roughly the measurements of the turbulence in the corona. And here we plot the net Doppler piezo effect, the shift. And we see no correlation. There is no correlation. So this is a very interesting and important result showing you that when you see some net Doppler shift, it corresponds to a flow. It should correspond to a flow. There is no correlation with the turbulence. This is a plot showing you that because we repeated this experiment using coronagraphs, LIO coronagraphs at ground base. So we got a lot of data also from a LIO coronagraph, and those dots are from eclipses. So they nicely are complementary. And so again, so this result seems to be really unique and very interesting, telling you something about the flows. Taking a time sequence, like Jay is doing also, using spectra. Now I use spectra. So I got line profiles and Doppler shifts. And while this is showing you the result of analysis using the Fourier transform, that's a power spectrum. And while systematically what you see in the corona are 5 minutes, 3 minutes, and more importantly what you see in the high frequency range, you have under 1 minute, you have evidence of peaks at different periods, like 43 seconds, 23 seconds, and this period I observed many years ago at SAC peak using the big coronagraph. So at eclipses it's the right condition to try to do a deeper analysis and use these spectroscopic diagnostic for looking at the waves. So this is a signature of waves in the corona. So I come to conclusion. So I tried to show you that white light eclipse imagings imaging provides the best diagnostics for extrapolated coronal magnetic field studies. Everything we do with extrapolation, so we can compare with those white light images, especially these images that now are done using this computer visualization methods. And of course, simultaneous baseline observation taken in X-rays, in extreme UV, simultaneously are a big bonus. Line profile analysis of the green line, and in the future probably also the infrared line, but I'm talking about line profile, provides an excellent diagnostic of the dynamics in the corona with the best possible temporal resolution. Of course, we have a very good resolution in velocity. The nose we got when you measure the net displacement, if you remember, is typically less than 1 kilometer per second. It's quite easy to measure this kind of velocity in the corona. But we also have a very nice temporal resolution because we have a lot of photons. So it's a way to look at turbulence and resolve turbulence in flows, including enhanced turbulent flows in coronal holes, net flows in equatorial regions, and of course diagnostic for oscillation and waves thanks to their Doppler signature. Much more data are needed, of course, and I hope that now amateurs will do more and more spectroscopy analysis like this and try to do deep analysis. At eclipses, it's possible to do deep analysis. Thanks to the availability of new detectors. You heard about these new detectors appearing all the time. 16 million pixels CCD or CMOS cameras, computer technology. So future experiments planned at next eclipses will permit more extended diagnostics for testing heating mechanisms and study the small-scale dynamics in the corona waves, the plasmoid. Total eclipses are still the best opportunity to test with new methods and possibly achieve a part of this task. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just one more word I want to... thank you to thank the organizers and especially Patrick Poitvin and his organizing committee to give me this opportunity to talk more about science. Maybe while people here would have preferred to listen some more romantic things, I guess we should be also a little bit serious, you know.
I think we have.
So thank you for organizing this very, very nice.
Thank you. Well, I think we have a wide variety of topics of interest at this meeting. Are there questions for Dr. Kushner, Daniel?
This is actually a question both to the speaker and to the chairman. I think it's very evident from this conference that ground-based observations of eclipses are still perfectly complementary to all spectrum observations. Now the upcoming eclipse of 2008 will be the first one with at least 3 new spacecrafts in space. Do you already see a great interest among ground-based observers and also maybe among the funding agencies to bring back these big eclipse expeditions like we had, for example, in 83 in Java?
I think the answer is no. But certainly there are good new spacecraft. Certainly we both have big applications out to our national funding. But the kinds of funding that Bill Livingston discussed yesterday are not going to come out of anybody.
Well, let me tell you maybe, well, just one point. That's the interest of space agency, NASA, ESA, well, maybe in Russia, but also their agency and in China also. What's their interest to support Eclipse Expedition? Why? Because it gives them the opportunity to talk about this mission, space mission. This space mission costs tremendous amount of money. I was telling you about billions, billions of dollars. So you have to justify before the public, and Eclipse is total Eclipse. Really a nice opportunity for them to show their result, to take this opportunity to talk about the solar corona, why they study the solar corona, what the way they do this study. And usually they are rather kind, you know, towards scientists doing some observation at ground base. Sometimes they also consider us not really seriously because we don't spend very much of money. It's a very cheap experiment compared to space mission. But I use a lot of space data. I use space data. Those are beautiful, very good data, of course. But, well, at Eclipse, we have something, some kind of monopole on the white light corona, this middle corona, and spectroscopic diagnostic is very powerful, a lot of photons. So you can do deep spectroscopic analysis. And this cannot be done in space for many reasons. Because you have less photons in UV, the amount of photons is very limited, and because you have telemetry data also, you cannot go fast, so fast.
Smaller telescopes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.